Sacrifice in austerities, yoga yajna, sacrifice in eightfold mysticism, tatha, thus, apare, others, svadhyaya, sacrifice in the study of the Vedas, jnana yajna, sacrifice in advancement of transcendental knowledge, cha also, yatayaha, enlightened persons, shankshita vrataha, taken to strict vows. Translation. Having accepted strict vows, some become enlightened by sacrificing their possessions, and others by performing severe austerities, by practicing the yoga of eightfold mysticism, or by studying the Vedas to advance in transcendental knowledge. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. These sacrifices may be fitted into various divisions. So, I think I've got competition here. I think that needs to be turned slightly down. We need to turn it up a little bit. Okay, that's good enough. We are trapped in the tabernacle of this body. We're suffering. Old age, disease, and death. And as if that's not enough, we have to be reborn again and go through the same cycle again. And we have to keep doing this until we learn our lesson. Of course, that lesson is that we are Nitya Krishna Das, Tathasta Shakti Veda Aved Prakash. We're Tathasta Shakti, the marginal energy, and we're eternally the servants of God. Unfortunately, we are belligerent children. Parents, they invest, good parents, invest so much energy, money, time, love, and everything to raise their children. And they pray and hope that the children will turn out nicely, to make the world a better place, to make the parents proud, etc., etc. But sometimes we see that there are children who grow up and don't reciprocate with everything they have received from their parents, and they become belligerent, disobedient, and they act in various foolish ways. We're like that. We're belligerent children of God, parts of the Lord. And actually, Krishna has great love and affection for all his parts and parcels. Mamai Vamsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. All living beings are parts of Krishna. And Krishna wants them to be properly situated in their constitutional position, serving the Supreme Whole, the Supreme Person. Serve we must do. You cannot avoid service. That is your dharma. You must serve. It doesn't matter who you are in the hierarchy of society. But there's always someone who you must serve and someone who is serving you. That is the nature, whether it's the lowest person or even the topmost person. Like, for example, the President of the United States. Well, I guess we don't have one yet, but anyway. As soon as he gets elected, he's got to serve. In fact, he gets elected by pretending that he's going to serve the people. Actually, he serves vested interests. But anyway, everyone is a servant, but we've forgotten our eternal service relationship with the Supreme. And that, and only that, will make us happy. Nothing else will bring us the satisfaction that we're hankering for. So, those who are belligerent, they never become satisfied, never become happy. So, we have to awaken this dormant relationship that we have with God, and we have to prove it to Him. You can say that you love someone, but actions speak much louder than words. Actions are what count. So we can say, oh Lord, I love you, but if we act against the will of God, if we break the laws of God, how can He accept this, that we love Him? We actually don't love Him. We love our senses. We love everything but God. So we have to prove, and the way to do that, one very simple way, is to sacrifice on behalf of the beloved. We sacrifice something. And this is an expression of our love. And here in this verse, there are so many types of sacrifice mentioned. Dravya yajna. Dravya meaning one's paraphernalia, one's possessions. So Krishna is Bhokta, Isha, he's the enjoyer, he's the controller. Therefore, everything belongs to him. We may be temporarily leasing, but ultimately we cannot control anything we have. No matter how many arrangements we try to make for our own protection, protecting our house, protecting our car, protecting our this and that. Ultimately, we can't. Everything can and will be taken away from us. Ultimately, at the time of death, you lose everything. Even the very body through which you are now enjoying sense gratification, exploiting material energy, that will also be taken away from you. So we are not the proprietor. Krishna is the proprietor, and therefore it is stated in the Isha Upanishad, which is one of the oldest scriptures available. It's one of the first, it's the first of the Upanishads. And it deals with the, it's from the Yajurveda, which deals with the proprietorship of things. So there it is stated, Isha Avasyam, idam sarvam yatkincha jagacham jagat tena tyaktena bunjita magrada kashasviddhanam. Everything animate and inanimate is controlled and owned by the Lord. When we steal God's property, we become criminals and we become punishable by the laws of the universe. And you may escape the local gendarme. Of course, you all know French. The local police. You may escape their net, but you cannot escape the laws of God, the agents of the Lord. You will be captured and you will be punished, if not now, then at the time of death or in a future life, but you will have to pay for your criminal activity of stealing God's property. So Dravya Yajna means to acknowledge that Krishna is the proprietor and to use everything. Manasa deho geho yo kichumar arpilo tua pade nandakishore. Beautiful song, beautiful verse. My mind, my body, my griha, everything I offer in the service of the Lord. I am being maintained. Yoga kshema vahami aham. Krishna is maintaining me. Hare Krishna. You just don't see garlands like Radha Govinda's garlands anywhere. Big, beautiful roses. It's incredible. And some of them even smell. Kali Yuga. Oh, Krishna. I was just in Bangkok, and they have some very exotic flowers there. And many of them look very beautiful. And like I said, some of them even have a wonderful aroma, but not all of them. So, using our possessions to glorify the Lord, that is Dravya Yajna, and Tapa Yajna, sacrifice in austerities. So, you may wonder why there are so many niyam, so many rules and regulations to the process of bhakti yoga. And you may think it's a little bit, not unfair, but demanding. I just want to love God. Why all these rules and regulations? But this is a demonstration. How much does the Lord mean to you? Can you control your senses? Can you control your mind? Or are you a servant of your senses? You're not a servant of God. You're a servant of your tongue, your belly, your genital. You're a servant of your senses. You say you're a servant of God, but in actuality, we see that you can't control anything. If you can't control your mind and senses, how can you offer them to the Lord? First, you have to have them in your possession to give them to Krishna. And ultimately, nasti buddhira yuktasya na chayuktasya bhavana na chabhavayata shantir ashantasya kutasukam. Unless you come to the buddhi platform, the transcendental platform, you won't have a controlled mind or steady intelligence. In order to discriminate between what is sat and asat, what is real and what is not real, what is eternal and what is temporary, in order to discriminate between spirit and matter, you need to be able to concentrate. You need to have steady intelligence. So unless you come to the transcendental platform, you can't have steady intelligence. And without steady intelligence and controlled mind, you will not get peace of mind. If your mind is running here and there, udaredatmanatmanam natmanam avashadaya atmaiva hi atmano bandur atmaiva ripur atmana. Your mind can be your bandhu or your ripu, can be your friend or your enemy. Your mind will give you more trouble than your physical body. The suffering on the mental plane, you will see very soon in this next century, mental illness grow and grow because people don't have answers. Life is becoming more and more complex. Miseries in various ways, economic depression, the threat of war, violence everywhere, all sorts of unresolved issues, protection of women and children, all kinds of things are coming. We don't have the answers. We have the answers, but who's listening? People are going to suffer a lot, and their minds will. The United Nations said that the biggest disease in the century will be mental illness. Already there are hundreds of millions of people worldwide who suffer from various kinds of schizophrenia and manic depression, etc. So, unless you can control your mind, you won't develop peace of mind. And ashantasya kutasukam. Unless you can be steady, sukaduke samekritva, labha labhau jaya jayau. Unless you can be steady in all situations. This is the winter season now. I just came from the wonderful climate of Thailand to this freezing polar bear plan. I'm a Canuck, you know, originally I'm a Canadian, but I've grown accustomed to Asian climate. And it's cold, and all the trees, the leaves are falling off, everything looks dead. It's a difficult age, Kali, the winter season. So Krishna is very kind. He's given us an easy process, relatively. It's not easy, but it's the easiest. But we have to apply ourselves. Then we can get happiness, peace of mind, etc. And this comes, it may appear like austerity, but it's the price that we have to pay for eternal life, full of bliss and knowledge. And it's not difficult. It's actually sanity to regulate yukta hara viharasya yukta chestasya karmasu yukta svapna vabodasya yoga bhavati dukaha. Krishna doesn't say cut out your tongue. He says regulate your tongue. He doesn't say stop sleeping, stay up 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, don't sleep at all, then you can be my devotee. Doesn't say that. He says you regulate it 6-7 hours, not polar bear club, 12 hours, 14 hours. No! You don't, try to, simple living, try to regulate your senses. And eating, sleeping, even mating, Krishna says, dharma virudha. This is the key, not kamoshmi. Oh, Krishna says, I am sex. Let me enjoy sex. And Krishna, No, Dharma Viruddha, based on religious principles, I am sex. So that is tapo yajna, it's austerity. But it's also sanity. We've seen the other side, no regulation, wanton abandonment, hedonism. Even the religionists, someone was saying today, I'm glad I've got a good religion. And I had to comment that we don't have a good religion. We have an eternal quest for truth. There's nothing like a delineation on your search for the truth. There's no borders. It's not like, you know, this is our religion and it's very static and this is it and, you know, these are the rules and you're finished. It's over. No, we're eternally looking for Krishna. We're trying to grow at all times. Every experience is an opportunity. See the good side. See the side that everything that happens to you is for your benefit, for your education, so that you can cut the knot of affection. And this will go on even after liberation, knowing Krishna more and more and more, right from nishtha to prema to so many levels. So it may appear to be austerity, tapa yajna, but it's not. Yoga yajna, tathapare. Well, eightfold yoga of mysticism, forget that. We can hardly do yam and niyam. What to speak of asana and pranayama. The real yoga begins at pranayama, which most people, you know, if they're lucky, they have some kind of yam niyam, not prescribed by Shastra, but, you know, people, yoga societies, this, that, they have some little regulation, some sense of goodness. And then they practice asana. They're not very awesome in their asana, but the real yogis are much more accomplished. But forget anything else after that. After the asana, then they go out and go to a movie or smoke cigarettes or drink coffee or do all kinds of silly things. But pranayama, then pratyahara. Not only pranayama is to bring you to the stage of withdrawing your senses from the sense objects and going inwardly. And dharana, dhyana, samadhi. So that's not for this age. Krita Yuga, Satya Yuga, not Kali. Svadhyaya, sacrificing the study of the Vedas. We should study, we need to study, so that we can present the philosophy. Also, we should study so that we can protect ourselves. Because Maya is attacking all the time, relentlessly. She doesn't take a holiday. In fact, she comes out more on holidays. she's attacking. And you have to, armed with yoga, armed with knowledge, you have to fight. You have to defeat your demon-like mind with spiritual knowledge, transcendental knowledge. What is the greatest thing that people get by reading Prabhupada's books and associating with devotees? They've never heard knowledge like this before. When I first heard, and I was in great distress, I was with some of my friends who were in the pharmaceutical industry, and I was in great distress. Because I couldn't see the answers to the problems of life. And then someone told me, you're not the body. A devotee told me, you're not the body. I never thought that. I always thought that was one of my problems. I didn't like my body, and that was one of my anxieties. But when someone told me, you're not the body, what to speak of understanding our spiritual relationship with Krishna, the process of liberation, the way to seek Krishna and be with Krishna in this world, how to live in the world, not get entangled. So much knowledge is there. So we should study Jnana Yajna. Jnana is a precursor to Vijnana. It is very difficult to really have deep realization. And at the time of death, let me tell you folks, at the time of death, of course you can hope that, well, I cleaned the RT tray and, you know, I swept the floor and, you know, Krishna saved me. And maybe he will. But you actually have to make an effort to go a little bit deeper than that. You have to study, you have to discuss satatam, kirtayantomam. Kirtan means not only Hari Boling, but we have a CD that we've been listening to, and when I was in Bangkok I had very little to do but get stuck with syringes and needles and you know, listen to kirtan. So we have this one, New York kirtan, and it's Urjaswat and who's the other devotee from Puerto Rico? Brakesh Rapandit, you know, leading kirtan. And it was pretty wild. I mean, the kirtan was great, but there were all these all these noises, exactly what the Nectar of Devotion says not to do. You know, you've got these group of people here on the Sunday kirtan who love to express their devotion through some kind of sound. I don't know how to describe it, but anyway, that kind of kirtan is very good and it's very important. But there's another kirtan too, and that's discussing about Krishna, his qualities, his pastimes, his activities. And that's very, very important. We never saw Srila Prabhupada doing the hot foot, or we never saw Srila Prabhupada spinning around or doing so many things in kirtan. Doesn't mean that he had no appreciation of kirtan. Of course, he liked to see his devotees dance, but Prabhupada was loved because he would tell us about Krishna. He opened our eyes. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam, Yena. He opened our eyes, gave us transcendental knowledge. Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama. Therefore he was Guru. So we also, Lord Chaitanya wants us to be Guru of one kind or another. And the way to do that is to take this powerful gift we've been given. Nobody can compare. I mean, I like to call it state of the art. Good word. State of the art spiritual technology. We have the very best. And unless we get out there and tell people about it, people are looking, they're searching. So this is austerity, its sacrifice of knowledge. Instead of studying temporary things, we should study Prabhupada's books and repeat them to others. Jare deko tare kaho Krishna upadesh amaragya guru hoy tare desh. So that's, we have to prepare ourselves. And I can tell you, the way to remain swimming in the ocean of nectar, the ocean of ecstasy, the way to remain jolly, the way to remain free from suffering and anxiety, is to always think about and talk about and discuss Krishna with everyone you meet. That's the secret that Prabhupada taught us. So, thank you very much. Are there any questions? Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki.